Barbarian tribes of Rome, Anglo-Saxons. Anglo-Saxon division of labor. Now, the Anglo-Saxons may have started their interaction with Britain as raiders and warriors, but as they continued to settle the island, their lifestyle didn't differ too much from any other early medieval community. Of course, it goes without saying that Angles, Saxons, and Jutes weren't sailors and raiders when they were still in continental Europe. They had to produce and provide food for their families, create and repair weapons and armor, and make clothing, shoes, spread the word of God to the laity, trade goods, build houses, and maintain order within their community. We've already discussed the social hierarchy of Anglo-Saxons, from kings to slaves, so we can see from these classes themselves what such social duties of both the nobles and the common folk were. Very broadly speaking, the ealdorman had political and judicial power. They would elect a new king from his family, pass laws, judge potential criminals, call for wars, and enforce laws. They didn't have as much as of a hands-on approach to the people as did the local reeves, who were responsible for both the land they held and the people working or living on it. In other words, the nobles were responsible for the law. It is also evident from both pagan and Christian Anglo-Saxon kingdoms that priests had privileges. After all, they were responsible for the spiritual support of the local community. If we take all the evidence about the pagan kingdoms as true, despite the massive speculation we've already noted in earlier, we can assume that rituals were an important part of staying alive. In November, according to a collection of works known as the Old English Martyrology, the priests had to sacrifice a lot of cattle to their gods. Usually these sacrifices were to appease the gods so that they could, in turn, give the people agreeable climate conditions and not to have them starve or die of a plague. With Christian priests, the privileges were even greater, but so were the responsibilities. Even when Augustine's arrival in 597 and his subsequent work, the vast majority of the country was pagan, and they all needed conversion. Considering that travel back then was done on foot or horseback, and that most pagan kings fully opposed converting to Christianity and had armies to back them up if any Christians wanted to convert them by force, Augustine's conversion of 10,000 Kentish people in a matter of months really deserves a decent level of respect. So those are the nobles and the priests, and their work was pretty simple. One group to maintain law, the other provide religious support and spread the word of God or the gods. But there are other jobs in Anglo-Saxon England, largely performed by the poorest members of society, either churls or slaves. The most common occupation was that of a farmer. Farmers would normally be men who would tend their fields in the aforementioned hide. At this point in history, plows had developed to cut deeper into the ground, which yielded better crops. It was, of course, common to use beasts of burden for this task, but even with the help of animals and better plows, farm work was still incredibly hard. But food didn't just come from farming. Other men would often go hunting, and it wasn't that uncommon to take your 10-year-old son with you. Fishing was another good way to get food, especially by the seaside. However, the most effective way of getting meat was to herd animals. Anglo-Saxons favored beef, and they herded more than just cattle, though. They took care of sheep, goats, and pigs. Poultry was also raised. People kept flocks of chickens, geese, ducks, herons, plovers, and grouse. Most of these jobs were performed by men. However, we will look at women in Anglo-Saxon communities a little later. Metalworking was already a common practice throughout Europe, and Anglo-Saxon smiths were exceptional. From the numerous mounds and grave sites, archaeologists have found a wealth of different weapons and tools made of iron. These include swords, daggers, shields, knives, axes, pickaxes, shovels, hammers, and other tools. Woodworking was also widespread, as tools were uncovered that the medieval people used to shape and cut wood. Many needles and spindle parts were also found. We can safely conclude the Anglo-Saxon people, in particular women, were skilled seamstresses. Potters also had a lot of work on their hand, considering the wealth of pots, bowls, urns, and other dishes found in Anglo-Saxon graves. Some of these creations are very elaborate, suggesting they were used by royal families. And speaking of the elaborate, plenty of brooches, ornaments, and beads were found that were expertly worked on, suggesting the Anglo-Saxon jewelers had perfected the craft very well. In terms of making food and drink, both men and women did their fair share of the work. Women made cheese, brewed alcohol, bake bread, and milk cows, but it was the men who did the actual cooking. Linguistic evidence suggests that no female cooks existed in early Anglo-Saxon England, but they were able to bake bread. But baking bread wasn't the only occupation that you would see both Anglo-Saxon men and women doing. Breaking bread, attending feasts, including both genders. Typically, women would serve men their drinks at feasts, and a feast could be organized by either the king himself or even one of the things for his local community. That way, any woman from queen to commoner had the duty to serve drinks, though the task typically fell on lower-class women if they were attending. In addition, both men and women could perform as traveling actors, musicians, singers, and entertainers. The Anglo-Saxons led a hard life with lots of violence, hard work, and constant threats of death, but they also played hard with lots of drinks, dancing, singing, and having a good time overall. Now, next time, we'll look at food and drink in a little bit different characteristic, as well as clothing. Now, the sources for this: The Germanic People, Their Origin, Expansion, and Culture by Owens, Attila the Hun by Worrell, The Burgundians by Charles River, The History of the Ostrogoths by Burns, and The History of the Vandals by Jacobson, as well as The History of the Barbarians. So I hope you enjoyed that. And as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.